My name is Hunter Blue, if we haven't met. Man, I feel like I'm just right in y'all's lap. Sorry if I spit on any of y'all. Yeah, like I said, I'm Hunter Blue. I am the young adult minister here at Cottonwood Creek, so college, young adult age. I'm excited to be here. Caleb, last week when he asked me to preach, I was super excited. I don't know if y'all can tell, I'm super jazzed up to be up here. I don't show a lot of emotion typically, and so for y'all to see me smiling means I'm like super excited to be up here. And so I really am. Whenever Caleb asked me to preach, I was excited not at the opportunity just to get up in front of people and talk. I really enjoy that, but it was more about what the Lord's been teaching me over the last 2 months, and this is something that the Lord has just been really, he's just really laid on my heart and for everyone's edification, and we'll all walked away encouraged and challenged and convicted, and the Lord would be glorified through it all. And so that's my prayer with tonight, is that at the end of this, we will all be, you know, headed in a direction towards the Lord and examining the things that we're doing in our lives, the things that we're holding close to. And so tonight we're going to be in the book of James. I do want to say real quick, there's an opportunity, I got to throw this in because it's such a unique opportunity we have here. The sand volleyball courts out there, I don't know if you've noticed, but those are in full swing now. There are a lot of people out there using those, a lot of high school, college, young adult, even older adults that are out there playing sand volleyball. And it's a wonderful opportunity to go out and practice a lot of the things that we talk about in here, to go out and to share your faith, to build relationships. There are unbelievers that are coming to our church, you know, about 20 yards outside the front doors of our church. They're coming and they're playing sand volleyball. It's like fish in a barrel out there. I mean, they're just asking to be evangelized too. And so we got to take the opportunity. And so we have that opportunity. Last week we went out after, and there's an opportunity to go out. And you don't even have to play sand volleyball, just to go out there and just to talk to people, get to know them, and just build relationships. And so I want to encourage anyone who wants to take part in that. We're gonna meet after. We're gonna kind of talk through a little bit, pray over the opportunity to go out, and then go out and practice it. So not a lot of times you have an opportunity to come worship, you know, praise the Lord, be filled, you know, hear teaching, and then get to immediately go out and practice that. And so we have that opportunity here with those courts. And so if you ever are leaving here, just create some space to be able to spend some time out there and have conversations and get to know people. There's a lot of unbelievers out there that need the gospel, and there's a perfect opportunity. You walk past them going to your car. There's a great opportunity that the Lord has given us. So let's take that. And so that had nothing to do with the sermon. I feel like it's going to happen a lot. I am, like I said, I enjoy being up here. The Lord's really laid something on my heart, and some got a lot to say. And so I apologize, but I don't apologize for some of it, because the things that I say are, I believe, are going to be from the Lord. And so let's do this. James 4. I realize I told y'all we're in James, and y'all are like, we're in James. James chapter 4 is where we're going to be tonight. While you're turning there, we just came off of this series through the Sermon on the Mount. So Matthew 5, chapter 5 through 7, where Jesus gives this sermon, one of his most famous sermons. The book of James is a good parallel of the Sermon on the Mount. So I felt like this was just a good segue out of the book of the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew. And this is a good segue into a lot more of the application and things. James gives the application for the New Testament church, for us, of a lot of these things that Jesus is teaching. And so if you do want to go back in your personal time and study, I would recommend going through the book of James. But don't get in there unless you want to get knocked around a few times and get a couple righteous backhands from James, because he does not hold any punches back whenever he goes. So how many of you in here tonight, as we head this direction, how many in here tonight have ever had your plans ruined by unforeseen circumstances? Have y'all been there? I mean, I'm talking you're driving to work, you get a flat tire, you're headed somewhere, you get a phone call, you got to go somewhere else. I mean, we've all been there, right? These unforeseen circumstances, they seem to get in the way, to conflict with our plans, the things we have going on. For me, the first thing I could think of was I spent some time in 2015 in the Dominican Republic, and I was living there for a few months. And one of the weekends, I hopped on a boat, traveled overnight to Puerto Rico, and honestly, I have a lot of like crazy stories of just doing random things like that. But hopped on a boat. It took 12 hours overnight. Ended up in Puerto Rico. Was in Puerto Rico. Went to the El Yunque National Forest there. I was there and, you know, had this plan in Puerto Rico. I was going to go visit the waterfalls there. Was going to go back, get some food, go back to the hotel after. And we went to the... rented a car, went to the National Forest, went down, had a great time, came back, and our car, the window was busted out, and they had stolen my backpack out of the car. And, you know, I had all of my money, had my wallet in there, and so was not excited about that. And so we had to take the car back to the rental place. So we went by the police station, told them about it. They couldn't do anything. After that, we go to... the rental car place, or head there. We don't have a GPS. Don't have a phone. I don't have any money. So in a pretty bad situation. And I ended up getting us lost because I don't know the map, you know, of Puerto Rico. I don't have it ingrained in my head. And so we get lost for a couple hours. And so from start to finish, when we find out the car was busted into, to actually getting to the car rental place was about 8 hours worth of just, I mean, high stress. And there was a point there about 7 hours into it when y'all have probably been there, when it's like, man, could anything else go wrong in the midst of this, you know? And I mean, I was feeling that. And my only response was to laugh. Like, I was in the middle of that, and I just started laughing. And the two other missionaries I was with were like, "What the heck are you laughing about? Like, this is not funny." And I was like, "I mean, seriously, like, how? Like, this is funny because, like, how could things keep getting worse? Like, let's just keep going. Let's keep piling it on." That was just how I was feeling. My response was to laugh at those circumstances. Well, I tell you the story because whenever we ended up finally, it was 3 a.m. when we ended up getting back to the place we were staying. And went to a convenience store just because I just needed to walk. And so I walked, and coming back, I ran across this guy and ended up having this conversation with this guy and just being able to share the gospel with him. And when I got back to my room, I was just sitting there kind of thinking over the saga of the day. And I just couldn't get over the fact that if the window hadn't been busted, if we couldn't have found the place, you know, if all these things wouldn't have happened, I would have never run across that guy and been able to share the gospel with that guy. And sometimes it's just the way that the Lord works. And so tonight, as we read this in James chapter 4, he's going to talk about a similar idea here of making plans. And sometimes the Lord interrupts those things. And so chapter 4, picking up in verse 13, it says this. It says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin." So we get this idea here that James is talking about. Like I said, it's this idea of making plans and making plans for our lives. And I don't want to say making plans is not a bad thing. We have to make plans. We all had to plan to be here tonight. We have to plan to get things done at our work, or for final vacation. You have to plan the vacation out. You can't just go. Unless you're me, you can't just go and just see if it works out. Like, you got to plan it out. And so I'm not saying planning is bad. In fact, Jesus advocates for planning in Luke chapter 14, verse 28 says this, "For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" So Jesus here, he's trying to save us from being publicly mocked. You know, he's saying, don't be the guy who starts to build a tower and then is like, "Oh man, I ran out of stone halfway through the project." And it says, "Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able to able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. So Jesus advocates for this idea of planning. He says, yes, plan, do that. Making plans is not the problem that James is talking about here in chapter 4. The problem here is with our attitude as we make these plans. The key here is understanding that God's plans trump our own plans. So yes, be wise, be organized and plan these things out. But understand that the Lord may change those plans on you a little bit. And so Proverbs 16:9 says, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." So when we plan, we need to be humble enough to recognize that God may have different priorities from ours. And we should be obedient enough to make plans with his priorities in mind. And so whenever we plan, we need to consider the Lord in those plans. And I'm talking the smallest of plans, planning out what you're doing the next hour to the next day or week or month or year or years down the road. Whenever I look at this story, you know, James starts out, he gives us a real world example here. He says, give us an example of these people going in, saying, "We're going to go into this town. We're gonna be there for a year. We're going to make a profit. You know, we're going to go such a town." And then he makes this point. He says, "What? Like, you don't even know what you're doing tomorrow. Like, how are you saying in a year you're going to go there? You're going to do this?" So it's not so much, he's not calling them out here for actually making the plans to go. It's rather, they're planning without considering, you know, like the Lord within these plans. And so here, James, he presents a scenario, he asks a question, and then he reveals this problem. And so, again, the scenario here is this business situation. And so we have these two people here. And so, again, the problem here is not with the planning, but rather the attitude behind the plans. These guys are, whoever it is, are planning selfishly to go in to make a profit. And James says, you know, in verse 16 here, he says there, this is what he calls them out. He says, "As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil." And so James here, he's calling us out here in this verse. Whenever we plan, whenever we make these grand plans for our lives, he's calling us out in our arrogance. And I think this is hard for some of us to see for ourselves, because we can make plans and we can justify those plans and we can say, this is a good thing. You know, I'm doing this maybe even for the Lord. How many of us are really taking a step back and really considering those plans and saying, "God, is this really something that you want me to do? Is this really something that you want my hand in, or for me to put my effort into? Is this a place that you want me and my family to go, where you want us to spend 5-10 years? Is this the church that you want us to come and serve and be a part of?" How many times do we really truly consider the Lord whenever we ask those questions or whenever we make decisions in our lives? And so that's the first challenge that here. And again, James is calling us out in our arrogance here. There's a couple different references. In 1 Peter, he talks about this idea of arrogance. In 1 Peter 1, it says, "Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." So with this verse, it's humility first under God, and at the proper time, he will exalt you. And later on in that verse, it says, after you have suffered for a little while. And so again, here, it's this idea that you may be in this season or you may not understand exactly, but remain faithful, remain humble, and trust the Lord with where he has you, and at the proper time, he will exalt you. In 1 Timothy, it says something similar. It says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty. And that word haughty just means prideful, cocky, arrogant. Charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. 1 Corinthians 1:26, and this is a very humbling, get ready, this is a very humbling passage that Paul gives us here. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, he says, for consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. And so again, it's like, easy, chill, Paul. You know, he says, like, chose the foolish, the weak, the shameful. I mean, he didn't hold back at all there. He's calling us, you know, what we are, but it's all for the glory of God in these things. It's a humbling thing to think about that despite those things, and I would agree with that, with Paul here, that, you know, like, I mean, I'm not of noble birth. I'm not the strongest or the most powerful or any of these things. I wouldn't claim to be those things. I would consider myself here. But yet, despite that, the Lord wants to use us. And the Lord can use us whenever we recognize this, whenever we recognize that there's nothing that we can do. There's nothing we have to boast about in and of ourselves. But we have, you know, because of him, you are in Christ Jesus. And it's only through the power of Christ that we have anything to boast about. And so recognize that. And that does something we're going to talk about in a minute whenever we do consider, whenever we do make plans. And so James asks a question here. We're kind of going in reverse. He asks a question here in verse 14. He says, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. So think of a tea kettle and the steam that's coming out of the tea kettle. And James is saying here, he's saying, see that steam? Like, go, so it's ready, the steam comes up, and it's like, boom, it's gone. He's like, that's you, that's your life, right? If you missed it, let's talk one more time, and there's a steam, it goes up, yep, that's your life right there. And it's like here, and it's gone. And that's a sobering thing to think about. And that's why James asked this question. He says, hey, you know, the God, the infinitely eternal God who created everything, who created your life, you're making plans, you're trying to do things, and you're not considering him. Yet your life is a blimp. You're here and you're gone. You're like a vapor, a mist that is just, it's there and then it's gone. That's your life. And in comparison to God, I mean, it's nothing. It isn't. It's minuscule. And James is saying, again, this is a humbling realization of whenever we think we're arrogant enough to plan to plan these things and to not consider the Lord, to not ask the Lord, you know, God, should I take this job? God, should we go here? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should we go into this town and, you know, this in this town and stay for a year and make a profit? Should we do that? Is that even something that you want us to do, that you're calling us to do? It's not necessarily a bad thing, but is it something you want us to do? And so, again, there's these interruptions to our plans. And so similar to that story, there's something redemptive about that story amidst all those circumstances that happened to me while I was in Puerto Rico. The Lord had a plan with that. And so as we plan, our Are we obedient? Are we humble enough in the midst of our planning to form a plan, almost a tentative, a direction of something? But whenever something goes different in those plans, or whenever there's some sort of interruption, are we able to take a step back and consider and say, Lord, like, what's going on here? I don't know why I lost my job, but you do, Lord, and I trust you with that. I mean, that's a hard thing to say, but the Lord has a plan with that. He does, and if we are faithful and we are obedient to his call on our life, and we can trust in that, he's got something better for us. He does. He has a plan with it, but can you trust him in that? Whenever we go on mission trips here, one of the biggest things probably is whenever we take a group, we do our homework, we make a plan. If you're ever going to go in a foreign country, it's always a good idea to have some kind of plan. Whenever we take a group, though, one of the biggest things we say is to be flexible. Be flexible with it, because this is the plan. It may say on there, like, we're going to have breakfast at 9:30, but you know, we may get a flat tire and we may not make it to breakfast. We may eat breakfast in the bus. We may get stuck in traffic in the middle of a Nigerian highway for 3 hours, and we may not get to eat. And so be flexible with that. And for some reason, though, whenever we go on the mission trip, it's okay being flexible in that. And then, because there's this understanding of, like, there's, like, the Lord is active and moving, and there's a reason for those things to happen. And then we come back and we get into our everyday life and our schedules and our plans, and things go wrong and we get frustrated, or we get angry with the Lord, or you know, we just get irritated at that. When in actuality, it may be the Lord saying, "Hey, I know you plan to do this today, but I've got this for you. You know, I've got this plan for you to do." But in order for us to understand that, we have to have a loose grip on the plans that we make. And so I think the first step in that is to consider the Lord whenever you are planning. But then whenever you do form those plans, be flexible with them. Thinking of this business idea that James is talking about, in businesses today, in the business world, there's this idea called the pivot. And, you know, it's very simply, in the business world, you have to be able to adapt and move, or your business is just not going to flourish. And so whenever things happen, whenever the economy changes, or whenever the market shifts, or whatever it is, advertising needs to change, businesses that are able to do this well, to pivot well, are able to adapt, and they're able to flourish because they can move with the ebb and flow of our culture. And this is the same idea that we have to have with our lives. We have to have structure, yes. Again, it's great to make plans, but you have to be able to implement that pivot. You have to be flexible enough whenever the Lord throws you a curveball, you know, to wait on it and then just knock it out of the park. You got to be able to do that. Something Joey Gallo cannot do. And so, again, you know, we have this idea of we're here today, we're gone tomorrow. And I know for some of you, what I'm about to say, you're like, no, we just spent 2 months in on the Sermon on the Mount. But I got to reference Jesus' words here in Matthew 6. So we're going to briefly step back into the Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus' words here are just so profound. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, Jesus says this. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So again, we have this reminder from Jesus, who says, I know it's hard not to think about tomorrow. It is. There's a lot of things we have going on. It's hard to just to pause, to take a step back, and even to sit and relax, because there's just so much on our minds. There's so many things going on. I know how busy we all are. And you talk to somebody, it's like, how are you doing? Oh, I'm so busy. You know, how are you? Yeah, same. Just super busy. Work's so busy. You know, we say that a lot. We've got so many things going on. You know, Jesus is saying here, he's saying, quit worrying about tomorrow. Quit worrying about, you know, he's not even saying like a year or 2 years down the road. He's saying tomorrow. Like, don't even worry. Like, go buy food from the grocery store. Sure. Go do that you're going to eat tomorrow. He's not saying don't do that. He's saying quit making that a priority. Quit idolizing your comfort and your, you know, the comfort that you have in tomorrow and the things and your plans. Quit idolizing those things. He's saying, trust me with them. Does he not take care of the birds? I don't see the birds out, you know, going to business and working. And, you know, you just don't see birds doing that. It'd be weird. Okay, yet they have no problem eating. I mean, they eat all the bird seed from our bird feeder every single morning. the squirrels too. Birds and squirrels, they all come. You know, they don't have to worry about it. Even the grass, the lilies of the field, you know, he talks about, like, they're beautiful, and they don't do anything for that. They just photosynthesize. Like, you know, they don't really do anything. They just absorb sunlight, take in some water. And God is, he's like, hey, I care for you so much more than those lilies or those birds. Like, you're so much cooler than them. And he wants to take care of us. He's saying, but quit worrying so much, getting so fixated on tomorrow that you don't even realize what's going on today. I think that just happens so much. We focus so much on things going on outside of the present, whether that be in the past or in the future, that we miss out on things that take place today in the here and now. The people that we're around. At the store, the people that we cross, because we've just, I got to go in the store, I've got to get this and this and this, and I got to get out of there, and I got to go do this thing. But, I mean, maybe the Lord wants you to talk to someone in there. And if you're not willing to sidestep from that, maybe, you're going to miss out on that opportunity, and you're going to miss out on an opportunity to be used by the Lord. The last thing here that Solomon talks about, he says, in verse 17, he says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So with this, it kind of seems like 17 is kind of out of place in this. He kind of throws it in there, and it's a great verse. This is dealing with, it's called the sin of omission. So the sins of commission and omission. Commission being ones that you commit, omission being sins that you don't commit, but it's when you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, just like he's saying here. The best example I could think of this is the parable Jesus tells in Luke, again, of the Good Samaritan. And it's one that we've probably all heard, the story of the Good Samaritan. But as I read this a couple months ago and was studying this, the Lord really convicted me in this, and with a personal story in my life. So if you're not familiar with the story, Jesus tells of, you know, the Pharisees, they ask, you know, like, Jesus tells them, love your neighbor. And they say, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus tells a story of this man who's going down, and he's traveling, and some robbers, beat him up and leave him half dead on the side of the road. And then there's three different people who come by. There's a priest that walks by, and he walks by and he sees the man, and he keeps on walking. There's a Levite who works in the temple, who also goes by, passes him, and goes on. And then there's a Samaritan that comes by, sees the man, has compassion on him, you know, gets him up, takes him back, bandages him, pays for, you know, his treatment, you know, pays for his night. And so he goes way out of his way to take care of this man. And this is a Samaritan who would have been hated by, you know, the Jews who Jesus is speaking to. And he says, you know, go and do likewise as this man. And so as I read this story, it was interesting to think of the first two guys who passed through here. So we have a priest and we have a Levite who pass by and see this man on the side of the road. Now, these are two guys who are very religious guys. They were Jews, and they were headed to the temple. I would imagine they would be headed to the temple to perform their priestly duties or their Levitical duties of sacrificing in the temple. And so you have these two guys who are headed. They're like, the Lord has called me to do this thing. You know, Lord, I'm a priest to the Lord, and then a Levite. The Lord called me to be a Levite. They're headed to the temple to perform sacrifices, offerings to the Lord. And they see this man on the side of the road, and they say, you know, like, I can't do this, because if they would have helped him out, this man who was beat up and bloody on the side of the road, they would have been ritually unclean, and so they wouldn't have been able to go and perform their duties in the temple. And so because of that, they continued on their way to go to the temple. And this became, so whenever I heard this story, I was studying it, I was reminded of and convicted of a story of my own life. So a couple months ago, I do a lot of ministry in Collin College, and so I was headed up to McKinney to go on campus and to do a ministry event. And I was headed there. I was just driving 75. I had left early, so I had plenty of time. And I was driving there, and I saw this guy on the side of the road, you know, fixing a tire, and really felt the Lord just lay on my heart, like, you should stop, and you should pull over. You should help this guy out. And immediately began to, well, I've got to do this and this, and I've got to get to the college to get set up to do this ministry event. And so I kept driving. I did. And I, you know, I got to the college, you know, and I got there. I'm sure y'all been there, like, after when the Lord's just been giving you a hard time about it and just bothering you. And I get there and I'm like, man, you idiot. Like, there was a great opportunity there to help somebody who was clearly in need, and yet for the sake of doing ministry, of going here, you pass by him. And in the same way, those guys who, you know, they pass by this man beat up and bloody because of the plans that they had and the ministry that they had to get to, they pass by this opportunity the Lord gave them. And so as we see this, as we consider just what James is talking about here again, It is not at all a bad thing. You know, I'm absolutely in favor. I love making plans. I love writing out my to-do list to the very quarter of an hour. I'm all about that. I like writing it out. I get some sick kind of joy out of it. And then checking things off of it feels good. Absolutely. You know, I'm on board with that. Jesus encourages that. Make plans. But again, you know, man makes plans, but the Lord directs his steps. The Lord establishes our ways in those plans. So be flexible with those plans. And maybe it's even taking a step back and considering in that, you know, like, Lord, what would you have me plan for? What is it there? Maybe it's taking that step back and doing that. But whenever you come to that place and make those plans, don't hold such a tight grip on those things. And you know, don't write those in stone. Be flexible with them and be open to opportunities for the Lord to interrupt those plans, for the Lord to prepare you and prepare you and prepare you for something, and then change plans and you use what he's been preparing you to do in some other aspect. Like, the Lord can absolutely do that, and he will. I mean, he's gonna change plans. You know, things will change. But be flexible with those things, and then pray for opportunities, pray for an awareness in that. Pray that the Lord just give you awareness to see the lost, the broken, the needy around you, and opportunities for you to minister to them. To kind of wrap up, James gives us a good application to follow here, and it's a little earlier in the chapter, starting in verse 6 in chapter 4. James says this. He says, but he gives more grace. And I don't want to just read in that. I mean, That's profound, and it gives us more grace, freely gives it to us. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. So again, this may seem like a weird progression here. The Lord, you know, James is saying, hey, you know, be wretched, be gloomy. It's like, did James or did Eeyore write this? Like, be wretched, I want you to be gloomy, let your laughter be turned to mourning. What James is getting at here is the sin that's present in our lives. He's saying, you know, mourn and weep over your sin. Don't continue to just let those things slide by. So as we wrap up tonight as a band, we're gonna play a couple more songs tonight. And as they just come up, I just want you to consider right now the plans that you have for your life. There's a couple questions up here just to contemplate and to think about. But I really want us to consider tonight just one, the plans that you have for your life. Are those your plans or are those God's plans? And then, you know, maybe it is praying like, you know, God, how can God give you more of an awareness, like in the midst of those plans? And so the questions are up here, and so just reading over those, I really want us to take some time here, confess if you need to. I think, you know, James, as he writes it, be wretched and mourn and weep. Like that's how sin should look to us. The sin that's present in our life should look like that. And then again, there's this application here, this progression of submit yourself, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So this idea of this confession of sins, humbling ourselves before the Lord, being flexible, being open to the opportunities that the Lord has in our past, and not even opportunities sometimes that we can even see, but that he just kind of throws in our past, being open to those and being willing to shift our plans and to do those things for the glory of God. Some of those things outside of our comfort zone, but being willing to do those things. And so, I just want us to take a moment right now, just bow your heads with me and just really consider these things, any unconfessed sin in your life that you need to just lay before the Lord, and then just pray again for the Lord to reveal the plans in your life, if they're your plans or if they're the Lord's plans, and then just how you can be aware of the Lord's guidance, how you can change your habits and your priorities to match those of the Lord. So just take a minute there, and then Zane will begin to lead us in the song.